Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Yes, it's our first regular show in a while. No more specials until probably closer to March's South by Southwest episode. So yeah, we are back to our old spiel. Now before we start, I want to give a very special shout out to a certain someone, a Miss Mizui Maeda. For 18 years, Mizui has been the drummer for the Japanese punk band Sushi Mamire, the group that basically inspired me to stop keeping this love of Japanese music to myself and walk into my college radio station and see if I could spread this wondrous sound. Of course, never thought I'd actually become a DJ, yet here we are 10 and a half years later, still doing it. Anyways, Mizui recently announced that she will be leaving Sushi Mamire on February 10th to pursue other ventures. She'll still be a vocal supporter for Mari and Yayoi, but being behind the drum kit, she unfortunately can no longer do. And it broke my heart to hear this news, seeing as how much Sushi Mamire has meant to me all these years. I've had the privilege of meeting them on three different occasions, becoming friends with them letting me use their song Ningen Coding as my theme for our 3-2-1 Let's Jam gameplay videos, and just so much more. They're truly a fantastic trio to be around, not to mention one of the world's greatest punk rock outfits out there. But sometimes the path of one band member differs from the rest, so we have to respect Mizui for having to leave. I'm glad they'll still be friends, and I'm happy that Mizui is going to continue making music in some sort of fashion. So, Mizui, from the bottom of my heart, I hope from the bottom of the hearts of all my listeners here, I want to say, Anata ga yatta subete no mono o arigatou gozaimashita. Rocking o suzukete kudasai. With that sad little news out of the way, let's lift our chins and dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with something new from Aeronauts, who last year released a new EP called Now or Never. This is its opening track, and it's called Grace.
「いつの間にか見て」「ドアを開けて見るけど」
One of her earlier tracks that was Ayumi Hamasaki with We Wish from 2002's Rainbow album. Last year's Made in Japan album helped score Miss Hamasaki a world record for most albums cracking the top 10 by a singer, with that being a whopping 50. Now say what you will, but that is pretty impressive. A week ago, I went into Boston to check out a performance of the Tony Award-nominated play Hand to God, written by Robert Askins and performed by the Speakeasy Stage Company. The story focuses primarily on Jason, a good Christian kid whose father passed away 6 months ago. His mother, Marjorie, wishes to get a puppet show going for their church, which leads Jason to concoct Tyrone. He seems like a sweet little sock boy at first, but that sweetness quickly turns sour, as Jason's social awkwardness around the girl Jessica and the bully Timothy lead Tyrone to become the devil we fear most. Hand God plays more to the concept of coping mechanisms. Marjorie forces Jason to take part in this puppet show so she can be closer to him, which leads Jason to throw all his anger and stress about his dead father into the anarchic puppet. Timothy yearns to have compassion thrown towards him, leading him and Marjorie to have a pretty scandalous affair. And when Jason finds out, Tyrone takes control and throws all their lives into chaos. There are elements to this play that work well, from the scathing satire of how the devil was formed in a great opening monologue, to a scene involving Jessica creating a female puppet to seduce Tyrone away from a bit of his evil ways. However, when the spotlight is taken away from Jason and Tyrone, the story kind of gets a little slow. While it's funny watching Timothy and Marjorie destroy the church basement, it doesn't quite know what to do with the scene soon after. And while the play tries its best to showcase the hypocrisy of those who claim to be the most religious, especially when it comes to the character of Pastor Greg, the end result can sometimes fall a tad flat. Nevertheless, when Jason and Tyrone are in the center of it all, the show fires on all cylinders. Watching his actor Elliot Purcell switching towards the roles of the good Christian kid and the psychotic puppet he's attached to is quite mesmerizing, as if we're watching two completely different individuals overtaking one body. Mariana Basham does a fine job as the widowed mother trying to find something to fill her empty heart, while Dario Sanchez plays to his strengths as Timothy when the situation calls for getting physical. Hand of God is currently playing at the Stanford Calderwood Pavilion at the Boston Center for the Arts through February 5th and runs for 2 hours with a 15-minute intermission. We award this production 3 stars out of 5. It has some laughs and strong cast performances, but the social commentary on religion seems a bit forced. Honestly, you'll get a better commentary in something like the Book of Mormon. However, if you're in the mood to see a mad puppet cut at strings of authority and throw about a bit of madness and realization into the lives of these strung-out individuals, then I recommend giving Hand to God a chance. Alright folks, let's head back to the music. We've got a killer remix up next from the Canadian-Ukrainian duo known as Magma. This is the ARK mix of their most recent single, and they call it Winter Tale.
Hard is time. Crucify my love, if my love is blind. Crucify my love, if it sets me free. Never know, never trust, the love should see a color. Crucify my love, if it should be the way.
From their 1996 album, Dahlia, that was X-Japan with Crucify My Love. Band leader Yoshiki recently finished up a couple well-received classical performances at Carnegie Hall, but the band will be playing the famous Wembley Stadium in England on March 4th. Hopefully, that long-awaited album of theirs comes out during this time period. If there's a telltale sign of a show being very good, it's how one would obsess over it. We have our Trekkies, our Whovians, the Browncoats, Cumberbitches, whatever house you align yourself with in Game of Thrones. People love these shows. They can't stop talking about them, and the episodes, scenarios, and dialogue runs through their minds on a constant basis. Now, if you want an expert in this sort of stuff, like we advertised in the beginning of this show, check out Phil's recap and review. He's very good at that sort of thing. Now, I personally have found myself obsessed with a show. An anime specifically, but We all know anime has their overall fandoms. Then you've got your Love Live groups and Gundam pilots and Saiyan warriors and Moonies. But I'm calling upon the anime fandom to create a new sub-fandom for one particular show. And to practically no surprise to all you listeners out there, that show is Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World. The show returned for its second season 2 weeks ago, which is a rarity these days for anime based on light novels and such. You usually just get one season, and then you're forced to read the original source material to see more. That is, if you're lucky enough to get that source material license in your country. We got 10 episodes plus an OVA last year, and we're getting roughly the same this year, 10 regulars and an OVA. Normally it's a bad sign when a show gets just a 10 episode season, as it could result in some pretty awful writing and boring characters, like what happened with the dreadful My Mental Choices Are Completely Interfering with My School Romantic Comedy. Awesome title, but a very shitty show. However, what we witnessed with the first season of Konosuba was some of the funniest writing and silliest characters to grace an anime in years. With the concept of four assholes roaming the Middle Ages, the team of Kazuma, Aqua, Megumin, and Darkness brought forth some of the most memorable moments in anime last year. With a level of sharp wit you only usually see in British humor, Konosuba made its mark, and by doing so, it led to me picking it as the best anime of 2016. As of this recording, the first two episodes of Season 2 have aired, and the laughs just keep on coming. The interrogation scene, the knights repossessing all their stuff, Megumin's cat playing with Wiz's boobies in the background, Kazuma bringing to light some gender equality knowledge when bath time calls, and even the return of those giant toads have brought practically laugh after laugh after laugh to the point where you just need a tank of oxygen to help you breathe properly afterwards. Even its opening theme song is a riot, as it's like preparing its viewers for the funniest half hour of their mundane week. If the writing keeps up the way it has, Konosuba could potentially become not just the funniest anime ever created, but one of the greatest comedies to hit the small screen in any country. Up there with the likes of Blackadder, Father Ted, Fawlty Towers, the IT Crowd, and it's not like Japanese-style humor, it's very Western-oriented. You could show this to someone who has never watched an anime in their entire lives, and they will most likely find it highly entertaining. Even with Studio Dean doing the animation so Deanishly, it often elevates the comedy to a higher level than it would if the animation just looked so magnificently. So, if you haven't yet, please do your funny bone a favor and watch Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, and let's get a fandom within the anime fandom happening for this show. It truly deserves it. You can watch Konosuba on Crunchyroll, and I seriously hope it gets licensed soon, and I'm really surprised it hasn't yet. This and ReZero, two shows anime fans loved, and yet no one in the US has got the Blu-ray rights to it. Funimation, Sentai, Discotech, even Shout Factory, who just licensed the Digimon Adventure Tri film series. One of you, please get on it. As for the fandom name, how about we call ourselves the Crimson Demons in honor of the magic clan Megumin and Yunyun are part of? That could be a good one. But do you have a better name? Submit it to the bastards at bostonbastardbrigade.com. We would love to hear from you guys about the fandom name or if you enjoy the show. Or, you know, if you hate it because you just don't appreciate laughter. All right. Let's get back to this week's playlist. Accompanied by Anasuchiya, here are Oblivion Dust with a song from 2012's Nine Gates for Bipolar album. This is Sail Away. Christina V on vocals. That was Jake Kaufman with Dancing Through the Danger, the theme song for last year's Shantae Half Genie Hero. Not only did I give this game a 5-star rating, but I awarded it the number 2 spot on Esh's top 10 video games of 2016. It is seriously that good. If you own any consoles or a PC, then you have no excuse to not get it. Speaking of video games, I know we did this huge Nintendo Switch episode with the DCD, David, and Hip Hop Gamer, which was ridiculously fun. But with so much to argue about, from Nintendo's recent track record to even the current day one game lineup, there was still a few tidbits that we didn't get a chance to talk about. There were some cool announcements, ranging from all the Dragon Quest titles heading to the Switch, and most recently, Fire Emblem getting both a new game chapter and a Dynasty Warriors-like spin-off to all the big names and indie companies developing for the console. However, the person who made me the most excited to see at that Nintendo Switch presentation was Suda51. I met him at PAX East last year, and the dude is the real deal. No More Heroes is what finally got me to buy a Wii when I graduated from college. And his work on Shadows of the Damned, Lollipop Chainsaw, Killer is Dead, and the recent Let It Die has helped to hone in a kooky and unique style of gaming and storytelling that's unlike anything you've seen in a video game. I love comparing him to Quentin Tarantino when it comes to his forte, because they're so engulfed in pop culture that they take the tiniest of elements from one set, mix it with a bunch more, and it results in their own brand. But seeing Suda51 at that Nintendo Switch presentation and his announcement of the return of Travis Touchdown made me incredibly excited. And the concept of this new chapter of No More Heroes being based on pro wrestling is making me wonder if he's going back to his roots with his infamous work on the Super Fire Pro Wrestling series. Also, I'm hoping you'll be able to recharge your beam katana so suggestively, if you know what I'm talking about. We have no idea when this new No More Heroes is going to be coming out. It could be a year, 2 years, who knows? But it's coming. And seeing Suda51 supporting the new Nintendo system shows that the Big N will be embracing some good, mature gaming. With that being said, there was a missed opportunity when Electronic Arts' Patrick Söderlund showed up on stage. He should have called back Suda51 and announced a Shadows of the Damned sequel for the Switch. That would have been amazing. Probably won't happen though, but we'll see what's bound to occur in the long run. The Switch hasn't even launched yet, and people are already calling it dead on arrival, even with GameStop pre-orders completely being sold out. Come on. Give Nintendo the benefit of the doubt, and let's actually see what the Switch is capable of. Can you at least give us that, my fellow players? Think about it while we spin a couple more songs. Here's a little something from the band Ogre, you asshole, who last year released their new album, Everything Something Nothing. From their 2005 self-titled debut album, this is Tochika no Kaku. We'll be right back.
있다면 스르또 큐 왔다리 핫다리 예예예예
김이 너 거시대 김이시대 아이까지 변하잖아 익생 모호사지 이제 어찌돼 모래게 나가 입혀 너 아름다워 겉돌아가 부릅부릅 신달라 분배의 거풀인 또르네 에도 주가 나 아무산 돈도 사래거리 끝도 코라의 다리 더미라 마테 가라 사이거워 왔다리 핫다리 스키더면 하아또와 거이대 거이댄 표면 저와 구름이 신의 기차 기도 타는 심장 도끼 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 보소 스윙맨 가대지 타바타시노 부처 야뽀 따와 쥐쩍 스키모 키라이모 함께 만나 돌아부르 어머니로 힘을 와리키때
와리키때 와리키쩍 와리키따
신지대 합의 히토 하라우 오키다떼 헤이키다
원교 어머 후이 바로다 길을 끌어맞 지지지를 혼내와 넣어다지 불빛이너게
슈와슈와 사이다 너미 허스타라 한도가 흐뜨그따이 야뽀 스미키쩍 코코모 미라이모 관계 나잇나이 불안하이 키키 나가시대 가득이대
미니키때 가득이짱 미니키까
딸딸라키 우우거리 우거리시대 이이키나 멈춘
니가 어머한다 카트더네 아이캐치 손잘빤 나도 두음마치
거주 오늘 건조 사건하대 노실때 너 내가 겉으로만 불뚫을 시달라
은혜의 거풀인 도르네에도
슈가나 엄상 언더 사리거리 굿더 고라의 다리 도미라 하게 가라 사이코워
I wish I could have spun on our best of anime show last week, but just had no more room to fit it. That was Sora Amamiya, Yoko Hikasa, and Haruko Tamatsu with I Catch Too Much, the opening theme to Last Fall's www.wagnaria, a seriously funny show that you can catch on Crunchyroll. That is, if you're not busy watching all the other great programming airing this winter. My 17-year-old self is bursting with happiness now, as one of my favorite films from my high school days finally comes around with a proper sequel. We're talking about Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. After 15 long years of waiting and empty promises, the half-super agent, half-X-Games combatant pops back up from the dead. But is this sequel too little too late? Or does it bring a good high octane of action with some cool spectacles? Well, good news. It leans mostly towards the latter. This one has Vin Diesel back on his growly voiced A-game as he and a team of other XXX agents seek out Pandora's Box, a device that can turn satellites into catastrophic weapons of destruction. And that's about all the plot that this film has going for it. Honestly, when you want to make an action flick, you just need a simple synopsis, some killer explosions, hot girls, and humorous one-liners. Well, specifically action flicks that aren't based on comic books. And of course, we have to have the government conducting some ulterior motives, because, you know, it wouldn't be a stick-it-to-the-man kind of movie without it. Like the Fast and the Furious films, XXX is all about the ridiculous plans that are set in motion. Shit blows up in spectacular ways, and we're hand-delivered some killer fights and shootouts. Yes, it's not the brightest bulb in the action movie realm, but for what it is very entertaining. The thing that kind of disappointed me with XXX The Return of Xander Cage, though, was that it didn't go back to the more heavy metal, hard-rocking mentality that the first one had. The tone of this film felt more akin to the Ice Cube one, State of the Union. But beggars can't be choosers, and what we got from this film was actually worth the long wait it took to make it. XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, is now in theaters everywhere, and we rate it here on the Boston Bass Brigade and No Borders and Race, 3.5 stars out of 5. If you've got a good afternoon to spare, and you've waited long for Xander Cage to return, then by all means, check this film out. You know, this is a culturally weird episode if there ever was one. I started the show rating an artistic theatrical production, and now we just finished talking about a mindless action movie. And I'm the only fucker capable of rating both kinds of entertainment fairly and reasonably. I think my reputation speaks for itself. Now, back in 2002, the film XXX probably introduced me to a band whom I can say has continued to be one of my favorites over the last 15 years. That group was, big shocker, Rammstein, who sadly aren't in this new movie. Maybe in the next one, though. We'll have to see. Anyways, here's the song that opened the first XXX film 15 years ago. From Mutter, here's Rammstein with Feuerfrei.
Bang, bang.
From 2011's Dumb Spero Spero album that was Darren Gray with Different Scents. Last year, the band saw the release of a new single called Utafime and a live Blu-ray for their arcade tour recorded at Nippon Budokan. Hopefully, a new album will soon follow. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. On the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbaby.esh, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ommysteryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's track from Umagma, provided by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you, as always, for sending down such cool, unique artists for us to spin. We're going to end today's episode with a brand new song from Bandmade, who just dropped a great new album called Just Bring It. And good news, it's getting an American release next month, so yeah! I'd be a little bit more excited if I didn't already import it for 30, but what can you do? Anyways, from Just Bring It, this is Puzzle. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Oh,
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.